Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Colin, and I play Kewin de Greymont, a paladin from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric also from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Ryan, and I play Ogvar Shorefoot, a ranger from Kessig.
Hi, my name is Samantha, and I play Elora Greyvale, a sorcerer from Nephalia.
On Secrets of the Silver City, the intel of the manor's interior revealed a rabbit warren's worth of rooms. After a lot of deep discussion, the most likely spot for Axum's strong room was located, and the friends forge ahead with outline plans for their foray into foreign territory. A disagreement over dissolving a grate caused confusion and general chaos amongst the crew, with expletives and entertainment in equal measure. Subsequently, a solution to their grating problem was finally found, and harmony and normality, whatever that may be, having now been resumed. Meanwhile, Esther and Ruth are apparently on long-haul laundry duties, whilst Caddo and Ogvar opt to send out the church Cathars on further inquiries in an attempt to solicit yet more snippets of information with veritable value. Episode 83. Fancy Fountains and Dubious Deals.
You've created a passage now where you can kind of squeeze through, get in there. So you carry on down the passage, yeah?
Yep.
So this is a single track passage now. You know, you don't actually come across any derivations, any forks. There's no splits in this tunnel, you just keep on going. How far does your light shine out, Elora?
Oh. Is it 30? It is.
It depends on the angle.
Bright light for 20 feet and dim light for an additional 20 feet.
Okay. Apart from your eyeball.
Oh, haven't you got
dark? Haven't you got dark vision now? Anyway,
I have got dark vision. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm still acclimatizing to it. She's not quite used to it.
Okay. As you're walking out. Both of you make me a spot check.
I get a minus two on that. So that's a five all in.
Five all in.
12.
12.
Eight and four.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Make me a listen check, both of you.
That's a 15 all in.
18.
18. Okay, 18. Okay. You are. Elora, with your new eyeball, you are kind of disorientated with, you know, looking through it, getting used to. Looking, seeing what's ahead of you. Kewin, you are actually stood behind Elora, so that doesn't really give you much help in the way of seeing what's ahead. But as you're both there, moving forwards, you've been walking for a good 5 minutes, and you begin to hear a noise. It's a vague kind of scuttling sound. And a kind of
Kewin.
Yes.
Can you hear that?
Yes, it sounds like a rat.
Well, it is a sewer, I suppose. Although there's no effluent down here, this is dry. It's disused. Well, it looks disused.
Do you want me to go in front a bit? Put that light on my. Can you put that light on my sword?
Both of you can roll initiative.
Oh, fuck. I wasn't expecting that.
15.
Right. Oh. Well, that'd be a 27 all in.
What's your initiative?
Eight.
How's your initiative eight?
It's 8, because I took the feat, improved initiative.
Only has, what, like 4?
Mm-hmm.
So your dex is 18?
Correct.
Four. Okay.
Actually, no, my dex is 19.
Okay.
I have dex and orbs. Hurry up.
Okay, so out of the darkness and out of the gloom, you see an animal which looks probably about the same size as Pickle.
Oh.
Only much rounder, much uglier, much bristlier, and infinitely more rat-like.
Ew. I'm looking round Cumin at this point because I'm guessing he stepped in front of me. Oh, have you? Have you stepped? Did you step in front
of
me?
You're hoping he stepped in front of you.
Well, he did offer. I'm assuming. Did you step in front of me?
Just go no.
I'd imagine so.
I'll move me all.
Come on, be a gentleman.
Sport.
But I don't know. That's up to, unfortunately, that is because we hadn't done it before we had to do initiative, so that would be up to the DM.
Okay,
you're at the front.
Okay, right. Great.
Oh dear.
that's
how far away is it?
It's kind of coming into your range. It's about 40 foot away.
Okay, so she could easily move behind me.
When you say that, you're in a single track sewer, so how much room is there?
It's 5 foot wide.
It'd be a full round action to slip behind Cumin.
It will. I'm just there.
Unless Cumin actively resists it.
Okay.
Cumin walks down the sewer like he's lost some pigs.
I've been to the gym.
Okay. I'm going to cast something new. I'm going to cast sound lamps.
Okay.
I'm going to unleash a shrill, piercing cry at the target that I can see. So I'm going to shriek at this target that I can see.
That's good and stealthy. Okay.
It takes... yep. It takes a barely visible form of translucent lance hurtling through the air. So I'm going to move my hand as if I'm throwing a lance. It causes a projectile of intense sonic energy to leap from me to the target. The sound will deal 1d8 points of sonic damage per caster level. I am caster level 7, so it will be 7d8. It is...
what?
7d8.
Seriously?
Yep. 78.
That is chunky. Okay, so...
So, there is a saving throw. fortitude for half damage.
Okay, so this isn't one you roll to hit, no?
No.
Okay, so what's your spell save DC?
Spell save DC is... 21.
Nope, with a 12 it's not going to make that spell save DC. Okay, so...
And I will just check here at this point. Spell save DC, it is 10 plus level plus spell casting modifier. That's what I've got down here. Yep.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, roll your damage.
Oh my god. I like that. I enjoyed throwing that number of dice. Right, so that is... Oh, there's 2 8s in there as well. And 2 7s.
That's 16.
Well, the whole world 16, now you're down in the sewers.
16. 17, 18, 16. 16 and 14 is...
30. Four.
16 and 4... Yeah, 30. 36. 39. 44 points of damage to Ratty.
You've got to hope that doesn't damage the actual sewer itself.
Yeah, the rat implodes.
Oh, boom. It's okay, Kieran. Sorted it.
My poor dire rat with 18 hit points. You literally just went, ah, and it went.
Love it. It's so good.
Which implodes dramatically.
Alora is actually very satisfied with that little bit of work that she just did there.
Yeah, okay.
She likes that new spell.
I can imagine why.
Do you remember when you said that you were going to go down into the sewers and try and be stealthy?
Yeah, I vaguely remember something being like that being said, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I picked that one. I did that.
So, after this brief interruption, you carry on picking away through bits of exploded mat, which have left a kind of a nice ring around the inside of this sewer tunnel. A nice splatter.
Well, no chance of an autopsy now then, is there? No chance of an autopsy to find out whether it was a were-rat or not.
Done.
God. So, yeah.
Can you smell that, Kieran? It smells like barbecued hair.
Yes, rat.
Never mind.
Laura.
Follow me.
I mean, I'm hoping it was omnidirectional, or otherwise I assume Kieran's deaf.
Pardon?
Okay, so you carry on up the pipe, and it doesn't take you long before you begin to see daylight ahead. As you come closer, you can see that there is a grate in front of you, and it's a very loose grate. It's got hinges on it. You can see it swings upwards. So yeah.
Kieran, you're taller than me. Can you see if this will just... Will it just push up?
Yeah,
I'll
give it a little push.
So this is a square grate set into this round sewer pipe. So you've got bars, but the actual section which swings up is a square bit, which you can just kind of... There we go. Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Which you can just kind of swing up and push through. You give it a push and it swings. It's heavy.
Is this really in? Heavy. Is this in the? This is in the roof, or is it in front of us? Sorry, I'm just for a minute. Then. Yeah, it's in the roof. That's what I thought because I just said you're taller than me.
Oh, was it?
No.
Oh, I just said you're taller than me. Can you give
it's
this a
pipe?
Push?
Oh, so it's at the end of the pipe.
Oh, you have to.
It's got a grate in it and a square bit where it pushes up.
When she said it pushes up, okay. That's why I said you're taller than me. Can you reach
what
it?
Means,
you never
what
said
you
anything.
What you mean is it's like a what's
cat flap.
Hinge.
Yes, cat it's flap. A cat flap. It's a cat flap.
Yep.
Right, let's start again. Kieran, can you give this a shove and see if this will just open?
Yes. This is a bit weird. It's a bit like a flap. You have to push it and it goes upwards.
Oh, it comes from the bottom upwards.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
I could push it. It's a bit heavy.
Is it open?
No problem.
Is it locked? Is it open?
No, it's pushable. Yes, here you are. Ah.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay, well...
I probably... I'll tell you what. Hold on there. And I'll reach me backpack, get a little bit of my oil out and just oil the hinges a little bit.
Oh, nice. Nice.
There you go. It's a little easier, but at least it won't make a noise.
That's a really good idea. So, what can we see? Where are we exactly? There's light coming through, so it's not under the house, surely.
It's coming from there, so I'd say we're somewhere in the grounds.
Okay, so as you open up this flap, as you've got closer to the grate, you can see through it. You can see daylight through it, and you can see what appears to be tile on first glance. You open up this grate, and you take a look through, and you can see, when you look around, you are actually in the base... or in the side wall of a fountain.
Right. Well, I'm going to look at the fountain.
Yep.
To see if there's what type of fountain it is.
Okay.
Because if it's like a horse, say, which way is it facing towards me? To the side of me? Or away from me? Right?
Yep.
Because then, when they check the grounds, they'll see the fountain and they'll be able to tell me which direction that fountain is, if it's a horse.
Okay, I will say for now that you do not actually know that you're in the grounds.
Oh, okay.
You do not know. You have come out into the bottom of a fountain. That is all you know.
Okay, well, I'd go through
Yeah, so you are actually stepping out into...
I am into going into the fountain.
So you step out into this bottomless fountain, and it is a massive fountain. It is ridiculously sized fountain, to the point where you are stood up in it, and it is probably about 8 foot deep. You could swim in it. It is that big. But this fountain, when you look around, it is wide. You can tell it's really, really big, because you can't actually see round the corners. In front of you, you have obviously the centrepiece of the fountain. And this centrepiece of the fountain, it is moulded around what you would assume to be a griffin of some kind. And there are various fantastical beasts involved. There's a griffin, you can see a hydra with six heads, with each head kind of leant back in this kind of swan shape with the mouth open. You can see where they would obviously be spurting water out. It's filled with, you know, we've got this griffin, hydra, you can see a couple of horses, a couple of more mundane animals, but you can see all these various fantastical beasts. Obviously there are various spigots where water would flow out of, you can see where the path of water would flow, and you can see down some of these bits of water, you see where the water has trickled out, but this is clearly disused, it's old, it's broken. Parts of the hydra, bits of the hydra are missing their toes, you know, one's missing the head, you can see the head lying down at the base of the fountain nearby. And you can see where these water spouts are. You can see that water has clearly dribbled out over time, but it's this kind of green sludgy water, this very still disused water, which has left these kind of sickly green kind of trails, and everything is covered with like lichen and moss. It's very, very clearly disused, forgotten about, not cared for. And the grate you've just come out of is in the bottom of the fountain. You can see the tiles, which it was clearly once tiled beautifully with a mosaic pattern. Tiles are chipped off, they've popped off, they're broken. You can see where this hydra head is smashed down, it's smashed the tiles around it. It's just generally disused and broken. And the grass, there is grass which has grown up around it and just over the top with grass and plants and shrubbery which are just concealing this from view. Make me a spot check, Kewin. Are you following him out, Alora?
I will, and I'll dispel the light on the end of my dagger at that point.
You can see the same thing. And you can also make me a spot check.
Okay.
21.
Was that, sorry?
21. 17 20. Plus 4.
That was on the edge. I'm going to re-throw. That's a 9 all in.
Okay, Alora, you're probably taken aback by like, oh my god, it's a hydra. Kieran, yes, you're looking around, you're obviously taking more in. You notice on the mosaic tile of this floor the symbol of House Axum.
Laura, it says that's the symbol of Axum.
Oh. Laura's going to look down and examine the tiles and recognise it. Hey, Kieran, you're right. Does that mean that we're actually in the Axum grounds? I mean, why else would anybody... Christ, this is huge! Who has an 8 foot deep fountain, for God's sake?
I don't know, but...
For Everson's sake.
We better try and see if we can see the house to see which, if it's...
Yeah, we need to check exactly where it is.
I'll head towards the centre, so I've got a better recce of the outside edge. Because it's 8 foot, plus I'm 6 foot, so I'll be able to see...
Yeah.
Around the edge. Yeah. See which direction.
Did you say that the centrepiece was a griffin?
There's a big griffin, there's a hydra, there's a couple of horses.
Are there some footholds where I could maybe just...
You could climb up, yeah.
Climb up the griffin,
You'd probably have to get a bit of a boost from Kewin. But if you manage to get a boost from Kewin, you could climb up onto the main centrepiece of the fountain, yeah.
Well, go over there and see if you can see anything first. I'll follow you, and if you can't see anything, then give me a bit of a leg up and I'll climb the griffin and see where we are exactly.
Can we see anything or...?
Okay. So, from where you are, even with the angle, there's this grass and shrubbery has completely overgrown this fountain. You could probably say that the only reason this fountain still exists is because it cannot be seen.
Okay.
No, it's I've not got... an eyesore on the landscape.
No, I can't see nothing, so come here. I'll give you the boost then. Right. Okay, ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
One, two.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Pastries. Yeah, hang on. I'm just climbing up. So I'm going to shimmy up a little bit at a time, try and get a foothold and hang on with both hands. Obviously, by this time, the dagger has been put away.
Make me a climb check.
Oh, Christ. Climb check. What's my climb? climb. Where are we?
Up the top.
Oh, okay. No, that's not brilliant, but we'll go with it. Oh, nat 20 plus 1. Oh, what a time to pull one out of the bag.
Yeah. You were able to find some really, really good strong footholds, especially with the bits which have been chipped off and broken off over time. You were able to get a good foot up, and actually you were able to get a fairly good way up, to the point where you actually sat on the back of the Hydra feeling like an absolute legend.
look at me!
Yeah, so from your raised vantage point, you can now see above this shrubbery which is covering this fountain. And what you can see, to your left, there is a 5 foot high stone wall with another 5 foot of grating railings on top. It's probably about 40, 50 foot out to your left. And to your right, you can see probably again another 60 foot out. The west terrace of the City Lord's Mansion. And you can see kind of in between where you are, so kind of 30 foot away to the left. So as you're looking at the mansion, to the left in between, there is a small kind of grove of trees, like decorative ornamental trees. And you can see that there are the little bits of decorative, you know, tat in the garden, a couple of statues, a couple of this. Couple of, you know, it's clearly garden tat.
Kirin!
Yes?
I'm scrabbling, because I'm actually quite excited. I'm scrabbling. Kirin! It's the mansion! We're in the grounds! This is in the grounds of the Axum Mansion. She's going to fling her arm behind her and say, well, to her, let me get this right, to her left, about 40 or 50 feet in that direction is the outer walls. And about... How far?
60.
And about 60 foot in that direction is the terrace. The west terrace. Whatever. Yeah. check my guns. It's the terrace. And there's a patch of trees 30 foot to the left.
Oh. Okay, so we could sort of almost like get out of here, head to the trees, and then you get by the trees to then attack.
Yeah, probably.
The terrace.
Yeah, this could not come up in a better location. This is the way in. This is it. I can't wait to get back and tell Caddo this. Wait till we get back and tell Caddo and Esther that this is amazing. This is perfect.
Yes, and it doesn't look like anyone's been down here for quite some time.
Well, no.
So we should be fine coming up here and getting here and there.
Absolutely. Right, okay, let's go back the way we came. I'm going to start shimmying down the Griffin.
Hydra. You can slide her down the Hydra.
Mm. Slide her down the Hydra.
No. Yeah, okay, so you get off the Hydra.
I thought it was a griffin. I thought I climbed up the griffin.
No, you just climbed up a Hydra.
Sorry.
The two main things are the griffin and the Hydra.
Okay, right.
The Hydra's make a lot of the spouts, but there are various animals.
Okay. Right, fine.
But you ended up on the Hydra, not the griffin.
Yeah. Right, I climbed down the griffin, the Hydra. Oh, I'm having problems. I climbed down the Hydra and rejoined Kirin. And I'm going to make my way back over to the grate.
Yeah. And so I will heading back out.
Yeah, and I can see, but I relight the dagger so that... Yeah.
So the pair of you make your way down. You follow your instructions in reverse. You make your way down. And you've probably been gone, in total, probably about an hour.
Right.
An hour and a bit, heading towards two, by the time you get back to the church. Right. In the meantime, Ogvar and Caddo... Ogvar and Caddo, what have you been doing?
I think Ogvar's just been continuing to look at the map, probably asking Caddo questions here and there, what he thought, just clarifying things really. That would be what the first thing you would do, and then possibly strike a bit of bait of if he saw anything he fancied when we were out shopping. Did you see anything caught your eye in the shopping trip this afternoon, Caddo? Anything you can potentially see as use?
Well, I don't really know until the others get back. It depends how we're going to try and get into the place, I suppose.
Well, yes, I suppose so, yes, but...
I mean, it needs some thinking about. What we do need to do is we need to detail off these people to go and do the recce, don't we?
Oh, yes, yes, good idea. I think
I've got a list of names ready.
Okay, yes. If you want to give them a call and call them out and send them on their way, that'd be good. I think they... You seem to have a better rapport than I do.
Okay, so you're just going to decide who you're going to send on scouting mission for tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can spend a bit of time doing that. It's easy enough. You're going to hit the required...
Basically everybody with a positive dexterity. So it should end up with 22 dex in all.
So you're able to tell them, you know, kind of give them the instructions, tell them I want you to look out for this. I want you, you know, make sure that you know what you're looking for. This is what we want you to take into consideration. You're able to give them an entire briefing, get them all together, make sure they've got all the kit they need, and you're able to send them off within, you know, the kind of hour and a bit that Elora and Kewin have been gone. Okay, so Elora and Kewin, you make your way back to the church. You come back into the ballroom. Okay, what do you do?
Oh, hello there. I see you're back.
Guys, we've got really good news. This is really good news. Right, we followed the route that Lars had given us. We got down, we got to this grate, melted the grate, we got rid of that obstacle.
Yes, her shots were absolutely inspirational. I don't know where she knew where to hit.
Oh, really? And what sort of shape or size was the grate?
Yes, I melted the grate, and then we went beyond there, and we came across this rat-like thing. Anyway, dealt with that, and then
you
we.
You mean
moved.
You exploded it? What?
Yeah. I wasn't in the mood to mess around, so I dealt with that. Too sweet. So got past that, and then we got to this square grate, which pushed up like a cat flap, and you know. Kewin oiled the hinges. That was a really good thing. Good point to note that it didn't make any noises.
Ooh, so, I imagine it's keep falling down now like his visor.
Oh, well.
Well, we could always prop it, but you know, hot.
So we go through. Kewin went in, had a look, couldn't see out of this thing. We seem to come out in this big... Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to explain all of that. Where we ended up was in an old, disused, tumble-down fountain. Very deep, it's about 8 foot. Huge whacking thing. Oh, God knows who'd want one that big, but anyway, obviously they don't want it anymore. It's not been used for years. Anyway, shimmied up one of the fountain gargoyle things. I think it was a hydra in this case, or what's left of it. And I could see the mansion. It comes out. And it's all screened, it's hidden, there's all bushes around it and everything. It's totally screened from the house and the grounds. But it's inside the grounds. Because one direction you can see the outer walls of the property, and the other direction you can see the mansion, and it comes out on the side of the west terrace, next to where the library is on the map. Ooh. And there's a clump of trees about 30 foot to the one side, on the left-hand side, that could be used as cover if we needed to use that as cover.
Well, that sounds very useful. Sounds like just the sort of thing we were looking for.
What do you think of that?
Sounds
perfect.
Yeah, and it's dry.
Did you say it was 8 foot deep? At least 8 foot deep.
Yeah, it's deep.
Was there an obvious way of getting out of it?
Not necessarily, but
all I do is do what I did for you.
Well, yeah, gave me a leg up.
I boosted one up, and then bonkered, you know, tie a bit of rope. We've got that rope from when we went to the underground.
We could pull somebody up on a rope.
It's only 8 foot.
Or we could just fasten a rope there if we need to get back out that way. It's a perfect escape route as well.
Perfect. Well, there we go then. So, yeah, so we need to take some rope with us.
Yeah, well, I think most of us carry rope, don't we?
Or perhaps even a ladder.
No, could do, but...
Yeah.
Could.
Oh, I have perfect thing. I lend it to you. Lend only.
Sato's here again. I didn't see you sat there.
He just appeared. You turn to your left and Sato is sat there.
Nothing is sacred round here. This is a church. Seriously.
I have perfect item. And his big pack, which he carries with him everywhere. You haven't seen him without this pack. Even when you woke up in the morning and he was fast asleep, he still had this pack on his back. He's down on the floor. He reaches in and he goes in. And it's only about torso length, but his forearm goes in and then his elbow and then his shoulder. And you see him scraping around in the bottom of this bag, presumably. And he comes out and he pulls his arm out. And in the palm of his hand is a small ladder, about 3 inches high. And he holds it out to you and he goes, good, this is good, infinite ladder. And he grins at you.
An infinite ladder?
Yes.
That sounds interesting. How does it work?
I'll show you. This room is about...
Oh, God.
The room is about 10 foot high. He holds it out. He's got hold of one of the long sides. He goes, grow 9.5 foot. And the ladder, as you look at it, widens and stretches upwards. And as he's holding it, the feet are on the floor. And the top of the ladder is at 9.5 feet high.
Oh, now, that is a very cool item.
He's got it in one hand. He goes, we'll stay for 30 minutes. You just say, shrink. And it shoots down and he's left with a miniature ladder in his hand. He holds it out and he goes, want it back. Don't lose.
Well, thank you, Sado. That is extremely useful. What's its limitations? Well, doesn't it? Is it literally infinite?
Once per day. But we'll stay for 30 minutes.
Once? Okay.
Shrink any time.
Once per day.
Well, that'll get us either in or out of the hole. If that's what you want to use it for.
So the infinite ladder is a very special item. It can grow up to a maximum of 200 foot.
Bloody hell.
It will last in its selected height. So you say grow X number of feet and it will grow X number of feet. The word in this case is grow. If you hold on to it and you say the word to, I think it's a command word again, or shrink, for example, in this case, it will shrink back to its three size. But if you're holding it while it does it, it will stay in your hand. If you don't, it will be on the floor.
Okay.
So you can climb up 200 feet, grab hold of the top of the ladder, and then say shrink, and it will still have it in your hand at 200 feet high.
What I can say about that, I don't know if it's occurred to anyone else, but rather than use that to get in or out of the hole, it might get us out over the walls in an emergency as an escape plan.
Yes, but yeah.
Or even onto the roof, anywhere that you can hide or get out of, you know, just in case things do head a bit south. What do you think?
Well, yes, it's a possibility. See if no one's seen us when we get there. It may be a bit wasteful to use such a useful item.
Well, it might be a backup plan.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, possibly, but, you know, I wouldn't like to be up a ladder while somebody's walking around. So, what are we going to do? Am I going to boost somebody? If we take that short bit of rope from we had on their first trip to the cellar onto one of those thick bushes, I can boost somebody up, tie it round, and we have a way of getting up and down by climbing. And then if you want to save the ladder, that's fine.
I think it would be wise to save the ladder. I mean, Caddo, that ladder could offer us an emergency way out. And if it will shrink when you tell it to shrink, If somebody tries to follow us, they're not following us anymore.
It could do all kinds of things, couldn't it?
Yeah.
The only problem I see is that the library and that private study are isolated.
Well, there's still windows in that private study. I mean, the windows would probably be... Well, even if they'd be shut and locked, they'd be locked from the inside. I'm pretty good at melting locks. I mean, and we've got a ladder, technically speaking. It's another way out if you've got a way of getting down the wall.
Yes, I suppose, yes.
Uh-huh. What do you reckon, Caddo?
Well, like I say, I mean, it's an option. I mean, the obvious option is to try and come back down the stairs the way we've gone in, if we can. But if you're saying that this fountain is only 60 feet from that terrace, then I think we're becoming more convinced, aren't we, that that terrace is the way in.
I think so.
Oh, yes, definitely the terrace, yes.
It seems it.
I think we have a plan. So we can get in. We know where we're going to go when we get onto the property. We hope that we'll get there, try and figure out how to get into this, what we think is where the stuff was probably going to be, or even evidence of his wrongdoings. And then we try and get out the same way and use the ladder as an emergency. If we get trapped or cut off, we try and go out from one of the upstairs windows by using the ladder. That seems like quite a good idea to me. Anybody else?
Oh yes, I think that's a good idea.
While you were gone, by the way, guys, we sent the team off to do the recce of the house. So hopefully we'll find out if there's any guards in that part of the house later.
Oh, that's brilliant.
We'll get a feel if anybody's walking the grounds round by near where your fountain is.
That's a good idea. I think that's brilliant. If we can get that information, I think we have a plan. So.
Okay. So you've informed Caddo of what you've found, what you discovered. You've informed Ogvar as well. What are you doing now? It's probably about 1 o'clock early afternoon. You've probably had your lunch.
Does anybody want to think about some of these magic items that we can get from the shop? Now that we think that we have a potential solution, we're still waiting for some information to come back in, but if we kind of think that that's our way in and that's what we're going to do, what items might come in useful?
What bits would you like?
So you're going to decide what magic items you're going to get, mm-hmm. or you're going to look at getting. These are quite limited supply, you've only got a couple to choose from. If you want it, let me know, you can buy it, obviously discuss for yourself. You can't have multiple of the same item unless multiple of the same item is on the list. Go for it, knock yourselves out.
Ogvar's obviously going to want sleeping arrows.
Yep.
That might come in useful.
And I can afford the translocation anklet.
Oh.
But I thought that would be a useful one to have.
Right. But okay.
Ogvar has the personal funds for that.
So you've been out shopping, you've bought the potion of ink back for the party funds, vial of quick flame, one from party, one from Qin, scroll of dispel magic was bought by Laura, blade fire bought by Qin, 2 sleep arrows bought by Ogvar, lock slip grease bought by the party, scroll of invisibility sphere bought by Laura, stability capsule bought by Ogvar?
Just one.
Anklet of Translocation bought by Ogvar. Scroll of Ghostan bought by Elora. And the Ring of Invisibility bought by Elora.
Oh, yeah.
For 50 gold pieces.
Invisibility.
50, yeah.
With air quotes.
Yeah, there might be some funny quirk to this. I don't know, but...
You never know. The ring might just go invisible and you won't be able to find it again.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay.
I thought she was going to say that this was just a one-shot wonder with the ring, but...
You've done some shopping. You're now on your way back. Elora, are you going to try out your ring? Before the big day? Hell yeah. Do it. You activate the ring.
Oh God,
Where are we when this happens?
You're in the middle of the street.
Always.
You activate the ring.
How do I activate it? Does it just activate?
Just spin it.
Okay, I'm going to... Right, Elora's going to... Right, I'm going to turn to the others. Okay, guys, I am going to try this ring that I've just got.
Do you think it'd be best to do it somewhere more private, maybe?
Okay, I'll step away. Right, I step 10 foot away from them.
Okay.
Ogvar takes another 10 foot step back away as well.
Is there anybody?
That's a big step.
Obviously, I'm going to lunge backwards. I'm going to pick a quieter spot to do this, so I haven't got like Joe public audience everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to spin the ring on my finger. Okay. What happens? Oh shit!
You'll have to find out next session.
No,
just joking. I'm not going to be that mean. I can't wait myself. Okay, so. As you look at her, as you all look at Elora and she spins this ring around, nothing happens. What? However, Elora, as you look at the street, you see from the point you are standing down the street and when you look behind you back down the street as well, faint lines on the floor glowing. There is one line in particular which is particularly brightly glowing. It leads from your feet out in front of you down the street.
Okay. Elora is going to have a stunned look on her face. She's got buffer face. She's got buffer face big time. And she's just stood rooted to the spot staring at this. At which point, she's going to suddenly start walking.
Okay. So, you have literally no idea what's happened here. Yeah. Elora has not disappeared. Ogvar
just...
She stood there, agog, and then starts walking.
Ogvar will turn to Caddo and community. You can still see her as well, can't you?
Yes, I can, but we could have some fun here.
Okay.
I believe she can probably still hear us, though.
So, Elora, you follow this golden line. And as you follow it, it is this bright white gold light on the floor. It's like a line in front of you, perfectly straight line. And as you follow it down the street, it turns left. You follow it left. You take another turn left.
Is it like an Assassin's Creed follow road thing?
A little bit,
right?
But not entirely the same.
Okay. Just notice, reference there.
You follow it, you turn left. There is another left turn. And as you turn around this left turn, right in front of you, the building is enshrouded in this golden glow. You have purchased a ring of invisibility.
How cool!
What was that?
Brilliant.
In with two ends.
To pubs.
I've purchased a ring of invisibility. It takes me to the nearest tavern. Brilliant.
That's ending the session.
Love it.
Very
it.
Nice.
With Great Gate behind them, Elora and Kewin continued to traverse the tunnel. Ambushed by a dire rat with an angry ratitude, Elora went all ham on it, executing a new spell effect that she had waiting in the wings. Upon reaching the tunnel terminus, the two found themselves in a perfectly poised position in the grounds of the Axum abode, before decanting back the way they came to rejoin their companions at the church. Acquiring suitable magic items was next on the agenda, with Elora eagerly bagging a bargain as she invested in a very cheap 50 gold pieces on a ring of invisibility. Kewin cashed in on some violence in vials with which to anoint his blades and Ogvar turned out his trouser pockets for a translocation anklet. And where exactly was our very visible sorcerer sloping off to as episode 82 ended? Let's find out.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Having you as a listener means everything to us. So, whichever streaming service you choose to listen to us with, please give us a like, subscribe, and follow. We would love for you to join us on our Facebook or Twitter page, where you can catch up with all of our latest news. While you're waiting for the next episode of Secrets of the Silver City, why not pop over to our website, where you can read all of the information about this campaign, from backstories to setting. All of the links are in the bio of this episode. Join us again next week for the next instalment. Thank you for listening.